want to go straight into God's Word this morning. I just feel before we do announcements or anything, let's just stay in the Spirit, and let me share with you quickly what I have prepared. I want to talk to you this morning about dealing with offenses. How's that? Mark didn't even know, all right? Mark didn't know. And so I feel I need to just share on this quickly, and we can do the other stuff afterwards, all right? And so last week, of course, the previous week, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about loving God. Last week, we spoke about loving people and how the one leads to the other. If we love God, Scripture teaches, we are going to love people. It's an outflow of that. And so the problem that we face, and so for many of you, I know you've been thinking about this, and I got some feedback as well, even in the small groups, this came up in the small groups. What if we have some people who are not so lovable? You got any of those in your life, or is it just me? All right? Some people who are not so lovable. Because let's just be honest. We're going to have times where people are going to hurt us and disappoint us. And they're going to say things we don't like. And they're going to be rude to us at times. And they're not going to include us to the party or include us to the meeting or stuff like that. Come on, these things happen. And that's when we're tempted to get offended. And the Bible warns us in Luke chapter 17. Listen to what it says. It says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. So in other words, what he's saying, he's almost saying, listen, get ready for it. It's going to happen. And you and I know some people are just more easily offended than others. Isn't that so? You know, somebody cuts them off in the traffic, and they are mad, and they arrive at work mad, and you're like, what happened? Now you know this person, and you think, you don't even know them. It's not even a personal thing. But what's happened? They've taken offense. They're mad. Or somebody at the office just says something, and they're mad. And you think, it wasn't that bad. You know, really, it's not such a big deal. But they're offended. They're mad. And so if you and I are going to live free from offenses, so in other words, live in victory, live the way God wants us to live, and to love people the way God wants us to, we've got to learn not to take an offense. Don't take an offense. And so here's the central thought of what I want to share with you this morning. Just because an offense comes your way doesn't mean you've got to take it. All right? Just because it comes doesn't mean you've got to take it. And the good news is if you don't take it, if you leave it, you don't have to deal with it later on. Because at some stage in our lives, in a week's time, in a month's time, sometimes we carry these things for a year, in a year's time, we've got to deal with it in any case. And so I'm suggesting this morning, these things come to you and to me, and when they come, when the offenses come, don't take it, just refuse. The word offense in the Bible comes from the Greek word that means bait, all right? It refers to the bait they would use to catch an animal. The trap is called scandalon, but the offense is just the bait. And so the enemy uses that. He's very deceptive. And so he uses the bait to try and catch you and me. And so whenever we're tempted to get offended when somebody has hurt you or they've said something or done something, just realize the enemy is setting the trap. And he's standing back and he's waiting for you and me to take the bait. And if we take the bait, that's where we get offended. That's why I'm saying, just because an offense comes to you, the trap is there, it's set, doesn't mean you've got to take it. Guard your heart. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Bible teaches us to guard our hearts. Now listen, there's a big difference between the offense and being offended. The offense, what somebody does, just the bait. That's what the enemy is using to try and get you and me to get offended. So the offense is not the problem, really. Although you and I see it as a big problem. But the moment you take that offense, the moment you're angry, and now I'm upset, and now I'm walking with that thing, that's when it becomes a problem, because that's when we become offended. And you'll find offended people produce a very specific fruit in their lives. You'll find they are generally angry and bitter toward that other person. They ignore that other person. They'll walk past them in the spa or something. They ignore them. They won't talk to them. They'll badmouth that other person. They'll become negative and opinionated. There's a very specific fruit that you can identify, and then you know that person is offended. Now, you'll find many people don't even know any better, and so when the offense comes, they just swallow it, hook, line, and sinker, and they're mad, and they're angry, and they're frustrated. They don't even realize, I don't have to take it. And so our attitude simply needs to be, no. I'm not going to take that offense. I've been down that road. I know what happens. Nothing good. It doesn't help my life. It doesn't help me in the relationships. It doesn't help me spiritually in my relationship with God. There's nothing good that comes from that thing. No, thank you. I don't want to take it. That's what our attitude needs to be. Now, there are two things that make a trap successful. Think about it. Number one, it's got to be hidden. And number two, it's got to be baited. That's exactly what the enemy does. He loves deception. And so he'll almost like hide the offense where we don't realize, you know, it's not a big deal. Because he knows he won't catch you with murder, although you feel like it sometimes. He won't catch you in an affair, but he'll catch you with an offense because we don't realize how big it is. What is it? It's the bait that's been disguised. And so we don't realize how dangerous the thing is. And then we take it. And let's be honest, come on, for all of us. I've taken that bait again and again and again. I think most of us have. And so he's caught us in that area so many times. And you know what's interesting? So often people who are offended don't even realize that they're trapped. Because they're so focused on the hurt that they've experienced, or the wrong that's been done to them, or the injustice. They're so focused on that that they don't realize, man, actually, I'm the one who's trapped in this thing. The enemy has actually caught me in this thing. And one of the lies of the enemy is that it's okay to be offended if you can justify it. You know, you were mistreated. Because you were mistreated, it's okay. Or because you were misunderstood, it's okay. It's okay to be offended in this situation. Or because they promised something, they didn't stick to their word, it's okay. And so now we think it's okay, we have the right to be offended. Listen, friends, you may be completely right and they completely wrong. It still doesn't give us the right to be offended. The moment we take that offense, we're trapped. And it messes up our hearts and it hardens our hearts. Let me show you from Scripture. In Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." You see, that's exactly what an offense does. It actually hardens our heart, and we end up holding on to that bitterness and that hurt, and we believe we're entitled because they did whatever they did. And so what happens? It brings division between us and others, as Mark said, very often between God's children. It brings division in it. It saddens his heart. Why? because our hearts have been hardened. And we don't want to see it their way or any way. We just want to see it our own way. And so one of the best things you and I can do when an offense comes, just let it go quickly. Just don't go there. When somebody does you wrong, or they hurt you, or they disappoint you, or they say something that they shouldn't, don't play that offense over and over in your mind. And whatever you do, don't reach for your cell phone. You know what so-and-so said? You will not believe it. What are we doing? We've just taken the offense. You've taken that thing. And so the moment you and I start replaying it, retelling it, you've taken that offense, and it's hardening your heart. It's messing you up on the inside. Let it go. Guard your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, above all else, guard your heart. Be careful what you let in, for everything you do flows from it. Don't allow that stuff to mess up your heart. I have this thing, confession time, little bit of an OCD thing. Whenever somebody visits and their car messes oil on my driveway, man, it bugs me. All right? So I'm not hassled with them because, shame, the car's leaking. We've all had a car leaking at some stage. And so I need to sort it. Because I know if I leave it there, it's going to draw into the bricks. The guys know what I'm talking about. It's going to stain the bricks, and you're going to have these black oil marks all over the bricks. And so I wait for them to leave. Bye-bye. And I'll quickly go and get my engine cleaner, and I just spray it on the bricks quickly. And all it does is just dissolves the oil. You don't even have to wash it or anything. It dissolves the oil, and the next time you wash your car, it rains, whatever, it'll sort that out. Now, in the same way, when an offense comes and we leave it, what happens? It stains your heart. It messes up your heart. And as we said, it starts hardening your heart. And so you'll find the longer you leave it, the more difficult it is to deal with it down the line. The quicker you deal with that thing. So in other words, no, I'm not... the easier it is to deal with it. And so if somebody offends you at 10 a.m. in the morning, man, by 10:15, it's almost like I've forgotten about it. It's done. I'm not going there. I'm not picking up that offense. I'm not taking it. It's not good for me. It's not going to help me. I'm going to let it go. You know, the Bible talks about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. One of the pieces of armor that we need to put on, one of the last pieces that's mentioned there, is the shoes of peace. And so for many people, they walk around, it's almost like they walk around barefoot. And so, you know, have you, for us city slickers, when we walk barefoot, it's not pretty. Because, you know, it's like... And for some people, they go through relationships like that. And then the next moment, you know, they stand on a thorn and it hurts. Why? Because they're barefoot. They don't have their shoes of peace on. What is the shoes of peace? It's basically where you make a decision, I'm not going to be that sensitive. I'm not going to be that sensitive. And so I've found some people are so sensitive. And it's almost, now hear me out here. It's almost like they enjoy being offended. For some people, have you noticed, it's almost like they've become addicted to an offense. If they're not mad at this one, they're upset with that one. And if they're not upset with this person, they are so disappointed in that person. And so they're always offended. And so when I see people like that, two words come up. Number one, drama. There's always, always drama in their lives. Always. And here's the second word, victim. They the victim. Man, they are never wrong. Everybody else is wrong, and everybody has done it to them. And so you'll find they've been offended so many times. that they've just become addicted to this. And they go from one offense to the next offense. They live on drama because they're the victim all the time. Listen, friends, when the enemy cannot upset you, he cannot control you. Take away his control. And so when you are walking in peace, you put on your sandals of peace, you're in control, not him anymore. Man, he can throw those thorns and stuff and the offenses, and it's no problem. I go over them. I'm in control. When people hurt me, disappoint me, and I don't take that offense, I keep going. What happens? I'm the bigger person. I'm in control. But the moment I get angry and upset and take an offense and tell somebody else, he's busy leading me. He's busy messing up my life. The Bible says here in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, says, don't seek revenge or carry a grudge against any of your people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now notice how we instructed to do exactly the opposite of what comes naturally to us. Taking a grudge. We carry that grudge and we seek revenge. She's gonna pay for this. All right? I'm telling you, the ladies are great with this. You know, Mark's mom used to be a teacher, owned a school, and so she says, I would far rather teach boys than girls. Boys are easy. They'll punch one another, walk away, and just now, hey, come, let's go and play ball. But the girls, I'll sit there and stew. I will get you. They're smart. You are going to pay for this. And so that's what comes naturally to us, isn't it? And so what Scripture is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't carry the grudge. In other words, don't take the offense and don't seek revenge. Don't take the offense and don't seek revenge. But he says, love your neighbor. Now, last week, we had a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to see what does it mean to love our neighbor. And verse 5 says, love is not easily offended. Love is not touchy. And so what it's saying is, it's not sensitive. I think sometimes we're all just too sensitive. Somebody just looks at us and we're offended. We're just too sensitive. Put on your shoes of peace. We can't expect everybody to perform perfectly all the time. You got that? You cannot expect everybody, your friends, your family, your spouse, to perform perfectly. And never, it's unrealistic. People are going to hurt us. They are going to disappoint us. And so are we. Come on, let's be honest. We're going to do it as well at some stage. Now, what happens? What happens if somebody really hurts you? Or they hurt one of your family members? Or there's some kind of injustice? Because if you are normal and if you're a red-blooded male, there's something that wells up on the inside where you say, this is not right. There's an anger that wells up. How do we handle that anger, that indignation that rises up on the inside? Listen to what the Bible says. It says, go ahead and be angry. Ah, thank you, Lord. That's all I wanted to hear. That's thank you, Lord. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. Ah, great, great. But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge, ladies, all right? And don't stay angry, guys. You see that? He's telling us the same thing. Don't use it as revenge. Don't try and get them back. He says, and don't stay angry. So in other words, what he's saying is, don't get offended. Because that's when we stay angry. He says, don't get offended. Now, why is it that we get angry and offended? Very often, it's because we experience disappointments. Think about it. Why do we get angry and offended? Because we're disappointed. And we are disappointed because we had a certain expectation. All right? So when there's an expectation that's not met, there's a disappointment that very often leads to an offense or anger. And so think about it. When you are good to somebody and you are kind to them and you help them out, you go out of your way, there's a certain expectation, isn't there? What's the expectation? That maybe they're going to be good to me one day. And if I really need help, I know who I can phone. I know whose button I can push because I've been good to them. And so what happens? What happens if we need them and they're not around? Are we disappointed? Of course we are. Or even worse, what happens if we need help? And what we get in return is rudeness, or somebody, they stick us in the back. They talk behind our back and we hear some bad stuff and we think, but I was good to you and I was kind to you. Are we disappointed? Of course we are. Why? Because there was an expectation. And so the higher the expectation, the greater the chance of us getting hurt and disappointed. How do we handle it? Well, all I want to suggest, let's lower our expectations. Because I think sometimes we've got such high expectations, and it's okay to have expectations. You know, your spouse, I expect them to be loyal and that sort of thing. But I think sometimes our expectation is just so high. It's almost like we don't make allowance for them to fail. And so you'll find, you know, if you don't have expectation of somebody, you've lowered your expectation, and then suddenly they are good to you and kind to you, man, you see it as a blessing rather than something that they owe you. Come on. Now suddenly it's a positive, it's a blessing. And if they're not good to you, no problem, because I didn't have much expectation. So all I'm saying is I think sometimes we set ourselves up for disappointments. We set ourselves up even for offenses because our expectations are just so high. And you know, and they can never fail us and they can never do anything wrong. Hey, they're human, just like you and I are. Let's lower our expectation. Remember what happened to Jesus with his disciples? He spent so much time with them, invested in them, poured his life into them, discipled them. You could say these guys were the closest to Jesus. Let's be honest, there was nobody else closer to him than those 12 disciples. And yet in his greatest hour of need, they were the ones who deserted him. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. It was only John that followed from a distance, from afar. They weren't around. Did he have reason to be disappointed? Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you've got 12 guys, you know, if one or two let you down, but all 12 of them? And yet when he hung on the cross, what did he do? He forgave them, as well as the Roman soldiers who had just killed him. Now, did they ask for forgiveness? No. You see, sometimes we think we'll forgive, we'll let them go if they apologize, if they are sincere. They never apologized to Jesus. There was none of that. Forgiveness is not conditional. It's not conditional. God tells us to forgive as he's forgiven us. He says, let them go. Write that thing off. Leave it with me. I'll take care of that down the line. So Jesus tells us here to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And then he takes it a whole step further and he says, now, if you think that's manageable, he says, I want you to love your enemy. Love your enemy. You see, Jesus, that's the stuff we discussed in cell this past week. And that's the stuff I'm battling with. He says, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully persecute you. Notice the incredible contrast over here. Look at this. He says, love enemies. It's almost like they don't go together, God. Bless those who are good to you, have been really been kind to you. Those are the ones you bless. No, the ones who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully persecute you. They're working behind your back. Pray for them. What is that called? The Jesus way. That's the Jesus way. And he's calling you and me to live the same. When the offense comes, don't even go there. Don't take the offense. So I want to wrap it up. And I want to encourage us this morning, all of us, don't take the bait. Don't step into the trap. And don't give him control. When that offense comes, just say, no, thank you. I've been there too many times. I don't need that. I'm going to keep my shoes of peace on. I'm going to keep going. I want to enjoy my life. I'm not going to go down that road. What if you've had somebody who's really hurt you? And it may have happened a long time ago. And maybe you've been carrying this offense, this unforgiveness for a long time, for years. Maybe a parent who abused you or gave you up for adoption. Maybe a spouse who was unfaithful at some stage. Maybe somebody who broke their word, went back on their word. They said they would, they wouldn't, and then they did or didn't. And you've been battling with that. I'm sorry to say it, but you've been trapped. And I'm asking you today to get free from the trap. How? Make a decision. You're going to let it go. You're going to release them. And if I'm going to release them today, I'm not going to keep thinking about it. I'm not going to tell others about it. I'm not going to replay it in my mind because I'm releasing them. I'm forgiving them, just as Jesus did. And let me tell you, when you do that, you may think you're releasing them. You're actually releasing yourself from the trap of the enemy that you've been caught in for weeks and months, and maybe for some of you it's been years. And let me say to you, when you do that, you're going to find there's going to be like a release in your own life. Suddenly, it's like a peace, a joy that just comes back because I've been carrying this thing and my heart has been hardened. I've been angry. Let it go. And you'll find just God's peace settle upon you. And you'll also find your relationships, your other relationships are going to improve. Because when you and I walk around with stuff, with a hardened heart, even if it's toward this person, I battle to enjoy that person and to love my spouse or to love my children because my heart is hardened. And so you'll find when you let it go and you ask God for a heart of flesh again instead of a heart of stone, you'll find your other relationships are going to improve. And then you walk with the Lord. It's just different again because you've been carrying this thing all the time that's been between you and him. He says, forgive. And if we don't forgive, and this is scary, he says, I can't forgive you. So in a way, we don't have a choice. So I get back to the central thought. When that offense comes, don't even pick it up. then I don't have to deal with it down the line. And the offenses maybe that you're walking with, we can deal with it this morning. Draw a line this morning and say, I'm done with this. I want to ask you just to remain seated right there. I want to pray for us. Won't you just bow your head? When we walk with unforgiveness, God sees it as a sin. It's not just a bad habit. How do we get free from sin? We confess our sins. Won't you just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been battling with this thing. You know what they did and what they said, and I've been battling with this for a long time. You know that. But I choose today just to let it go. I'm not going to hold it against them. I'm not going to talk about it. When my thoughts go there, I'm going to actually remind myself that I've released them, I've forgiven them. And from today on, I want to live free from offenses and unforgiveness. Lord, and we pray for the rest of us. Thank you for the reminder today. Because before the sun sets today, we may be offended. Somebody may do something. Before the end of next week, we'll probably experience more than one. And so when those things come, when the enemy sets those traps for us, help us, Lord, to walk past and just to refuse. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going down that line. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.